From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Maloney. I'm joined today by Dr. Frederick Keating, the president of Rowan College of South Jersey. Fred, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Abby. No, my pleasure.
You know, we're going to be talking about this new economy that has been created due to the pandemic, new business norms, new operations that started during the pandemic that will continue into this post-pandemic climate. But before we get on the business side, I wanted to ask you personally, were there any new norms that you instilled during the pandemic? New hobbies, new interests, new technologies that you know will continue with you in this post-pandemic world we're entering into?
Of course there is. I mean, our entire culture has been shaken, you know, to its roots. And all of us have adapted as best we can. I mean, there's a generational approach to that thought.
Sure.
But from my perspective, I think what we're learning, or I've learned specifically that I'll carry forward, is this idea that we have to get a little more aggressive in the visionary aspect of where things are going, even personally as well as professionally. I thought we're somewhat complacent, especially in the sector in which I work, which, you know, pretty much captures most of my activity and thought process, that we were living kind of day to day, and we had a lot of situations where change comes slowly, personally and or in the sector. And this pandemic forced us to stop thinking that way, that we really had to accept the changes because they are so aggressive. And the outcomes that we're faced with now are probably some of the more difficult things that we've experienced as a society or even as an individual. Our adaption to work, I mean, this movement now of individuals not wanting to return to work, this whole culture of that we do our business the way you and I are doing it now, with a technology influence. So I think what I would offer on that thought is really is the idea of the vision and the willingness to adapt to change. We always say we have it or we attempt it, but I think now you don't really have a choice any longer. You must adapt or you will die. And the adapting aspect is aggressive to where people, and we have to watch this, even I try to watch this personally, is that it could freeze you because it's intimidating and it's aggressive, and that you may want to just stop. In some cases, retreat, and in some cases, we see individuals that are just choosing not to engage.
Right.
And I think that the fear aspect of what the pandemic has put in our minds and the longevity of it is basically changing the way we engage. And I think engagement is what we have to get back to as a society for learning, and in our sector, certainly for the idea of higher education.
Yes.
So personally, I adapt to my industry. I'm influenced by it every day. So I just think those couple points, the idea of willingness to adapt, to change, and to engage. Because my fear is, as we are now into the beginning of the academic year, and from a professional and personal perspective, is I don't see the re-engagement.
Right.
And I think that obviously it's the exit strategy of a pandemic culture, but our behavioral issues are probably getting in front of everything else. Our health is obviously premier, but I think behind it is a behavioral shift. So you must accept and move on. As I say, you must change or you will die. So it's going to be an exciting and yet challenging and scary somewhat beginning of our sector and our personal involvement in it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned adaptation a lot. And during the pandemic, Rowan College lost about 15% of its student population, but saw a significant uptick in applications for the medical school, something we've now known to be called the Fauci effect. How does that recent uptick in demand for the medical education influence the college's strategy to regain the student population and plans to ensure the college's future success?
Well, that's probably the question of the day. The college does have a medical health profession, allied health campus component that's growing larger and larger every day. The Rowan University School of Osteopathic Medicine moved on to our campus as a branch of their main campus in Stratford and Camden County. And with that, we became a partner. It is the university's medical school, but being a partner and having it on our soil gives us a very unique approach to health education as a community or junior college to the university. With that in mind, your point is extremely well made with regard to the so-called Fauci effect. we have heard from them that their enrollment, hence the need for that expansion campus to take 150 new medical applications for doctors, wow, is significant growth, and it's probably somewhat influenced by service to the community or pandemic or Fauci effect of medicine study. The nursing profession, which now we have, and we are the best, so to speak, in New Jersey, awarded such that we see that we had a double application pool for the registered nurse program. We had to increase another cohort, and we would like to go one more. LPN, RN, all of our allied health considerations. We're going to open up a respiratory therapy program, and already applications are in demand. We have, you know, nutritional science. And also don't forget, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, we've expanded our health profession consideration when we advertise to the behavioral science, psychology, pain management, drug and alcohol consideration, trauma, post-traumatic stress, even with our military students, but also now with our general population and our employees, back to what we talked about earlier. So yes, the impact of the pandemic has greatly, and thankfully so, enhanced medicine, health professions. We've got a new relationship coming out recently, we'll come out with regard to a network with a premier relationship within Inspira Hospital Network. We're talking to Virtua, we're talking to others. So the idea of clinical training, emerging fields, medical tech, surgical tech, all aspects of radiography, MRI, ultrasound, we're bringing all of those programs into the arena with high demand. We're thankful, we're trying to quickly respond to demand, bricks and mortar, as well as clinical sites. So it's got a two-part hit. One is the interest of the study as a result of a pandemic that captured a world, and also the idea that can we meet demand and specific demand as you have a population of somewhat employment-wise that they're burning out. These are people that have been on high alert now for a year and a half, and right, you know, some of them are casualties of this situation. So we've got that, here we go again. It's that, that fear factor and that disengagement that we're trying to keep up with supply and demand. But you're on to it. You're absolutely right. And we're thrilled to be a part of the growth of allied health and nursing.
The New Jersey legislation has made a lot of advances in the wind industry, and Rowan College wants to play a key role in training the next generation for the wind industry. What progress has been made in that effort, and why is it important towards the future vision of the college?
Well, that's a geographical question. The idea that we are in South Jersey, and South Jersey is now the focus of the wind industry, with the farm that's going to go off the Atlantic City and up to Barnegat coast. We have manufacturing in the Port of Paulsboro, which was kind of the first start conversation of the manufacturing of the monopiles and the blades. So the turbines and all coming from there. Gloucester had a natural relationship. Our Senate President, Steve Sweeney, was very much engaged in this conversation and pushed us immediately to look into becoming part of the training component. Again, we have Rowan University as a partner with research and engineering. We have the college with regard to the tech training. So we are in the process of applying for all of the applications that are out there with regard to providing training. We were not successful with basic training. However, we are now involved in the application that's going in for the turbine technician, which I think would be a better fit for us in the end. We can partner with the schools in Atlantic Cape with regard to the safety aspect. Now we're getting into the individuals that are literally in the industry working on site out in the ocean. So with that, the turbine tech is an application that we're submitting tomorrow. We're talking obviously in July. This idea would be an entry for the college to be part of the base programming for the wind industry. And as it evolves in New Jersey, and we get a wind institute for the state of New Jersey, but we're working, we have a partner system in Bristol Community College in Massachusetts, who has been a year or two ahead of us in this. And we're affiliated with Maersk out of Denmark with regard to the training and or the technician training. So we put in this application with the idea that we would like to be part of it. Yes, we see the wind industry and environmental sustainability is really, go back to medicine. Environmental stability is part of our national cry as we look at our planet. And the idea that we have solar on our campus, we have a wind consideration coming, that we would want to be a part of it, develop a major with the university in environmental science and sustainability of the earth, and that we would, yes, we want to be a player. So we are putting a lot of our energy and our grant attempt into becoming a partner with the state of New Jersey to focus in South Jersey, where this farm will first come out, along with some partner states in Massachusetts and then Maryland, that the East Coast, as it comes out into the wind industry, as the president's putting into his plan, that we would like to be a part. So once again, you're touching on emerging industries, as we call them. Health is one, wind is two. And they are literally two of the top priorities in the state of New Jersey, certainly in the southern part of the state.
You said that the education playing field is shrinking and the landscape can't maintain as it currently stands with so many institutions. As an institution that was born from the merger of two colleges, how might Rowan College of South Jersey now play into the consolidation trend currently seen in the industry?
Once again, this was something that was coming. And I think the pandemic, as we say, pushed it on steroidal growth. You are now seeing universities and colleges talking about mergers, jointures, shared service relationships. Do we have too many? I don't know if we have too many, as much as we as a state continue to be the number one exporter of high school talent to other states for higher education, with a prognosis that very few of them return. So with that in mind, I think that what we're seeing is a shift in the demographics. And that's the impact largely, is there's less of a traditional student body. The numbers are down in the Northeast corridor of the country with regard to the demographics. So if you have a smaller pool of candidate and you're exporting most of them, it leaves us with a short consideration with regard to the potential growth. Now put the blender on and put in pandemic, the fear of re-engagement, and or the technology shift that students want to engage online, and they want to do it on their time and their terms. So all of that is playing at one time, which I think we felt was starting to squeeze the opportunity of individual standalone survival. The idea that colleges could merge, but they could merge programmatically and academically by bringing in and become specialists in certain components of education and training. So the county college two-year sector, we're moving around watching each other to see where there's going to be an ability to survive, because the sector across our nation is down. And you pointed out our numbers. We're looking for those numbers to somewhat correct coming out of the pandemic, but we still think we'll return to what was baseline, which was really a shortage of students. So we believe the college took a step to merge with Cumberland County so that Gloucester and Cumberland could regionalize with a Route 55 corridor of connectivity, that we could be an Eds and Meds corridor or educational concept. Keep in mind, we have a research university in Rowan as the mothership that is geographically right between two of us on that same interstate. So with all of that in mind, we did take the step. I think that you're going to see more of this rather than less of it. I do think that larger institutions will start talking more aggressively to two-year schools. Do we go to a state system where we're all meshed together and operating as one? I, for one, as one voice in the darkness, would say that's probably a great idea. But I don't see New Jersey trending that way, but we'll see where it goes. But I do think that this is not an aberration. I think you're going to see more are going to come together for survivability and also for the idea of program, refinement. We don't all have to do the same thing to a smaller number of people. We can consolidate that operational cost, that administrative cost, and focus on classroom and growth by geography and program demand. So I think this is the tip of the spear. It's coming. It's going to come more aggressively as post-pandemic numbers remain low. And I think the refinement of the industry is no different from any other. Look at hospitals, look at other entities. They merge, they go together. I think this is just a sign of the times and where we're going.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. That's Dr. Frederick Keating, the president of Rowan College of South Jersey. My name is Abby Malone. Fred, thank you again.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.